Welcome back to our NLC weekly podcast, where we are encouraged from the word of God that's preached in our services every Sunday morning. Here is this week's message.
Exodus chapter 8, verse 22 and 23 says this: "But on that day, I will deal differently with the land of Goshen, where my people live." Where who? My people live. "No swarms of flies will be there." Thank you, Jesus. "So that you will know that I, the Lord, I am in this land. I will make a distinction between my people and your people. This sign will occur tomorrow." "But on that day, I will deal differently with the land of Goshen." This is your God saying, "I will deal differently. I will make a distinction between my people and your people." There is going to be a total difference. What's happening in one camp cannot be happening in another camp. What's happening in one camp has to be completely different to the other camp. That's what he is saying today in his scriptures. "I will deal differently with my people." My name is Pastor Fighter, and we are starting a new series that will go over even into the next month. And we are titling it, "More Than Money, It's a Kingdom Thing." More than money, it's a kingdom thing. Are you ready? Kaende sana. Let me ask you, do we believe that God is personal enough, real enough, capable enough to speak into our money along with everything else in our life? Do you believe it? You agree? Like today, right now. If that's the case and if you agree, then let's give him permission to touch it. Let's give him permission to order it. Let's give him permission to direct it. That's our money. Let's give him permission to expand it. Let's give him permission to provide it. After today, the following three Sundays, as I said, we're starting a series, will be about our part in this kingdom economy. And that's what we're going to be talking about, kingdom economy. But today, before we even talk about our hands, we have to talk about our hearts. Because the position matters. How I'm going to receive this message matters. You know, one time I was, for a short stint, I did a self-defense class. Yeah, short. Yeah, emphasis on short. But while I was there, they taught me some things. They taught me, like, when you are attacking is not more about your attack mood, okay? They actually taught me that your position matters so much, and that my position will impact my action, will impact the potency of my action. And so they said, if like I literally would just stand with legs just across and I try, that is, well, awesome, but it won't achieve much. But if I was to put one leg behind, make it a pivot, and when it's time to strike as I turn, and I, again, attack, my attack is honestly exponentially greater. The potency, the strength of my attack is much greater. It has nothing to do on any, you would think it's about the hands. But truly, the excellence or the success of the attack is dependent on the position. It's dependent on something much different. The position of my heart in this series has to be talked about in order to understand how I should respond to my part in his kingdom. The position of my heart will impact how I receive the entire series. If I get it right here, I will get it right here. So I have to make sure first that I have it right in here. All right? If fear is leading my heart, I will never steward my finances the way God intended. So I must decide that despite my present circumstances, I will still let faith lead my heart. All right? And it's possible. So let's talk about more than money. It's a kingdom thing. Let's start by defining some terms. Number one, the term economy, okay? In the simplest terms, the term economy means a system by which resources flow, okay? I have a good, I have a service, how it gets to the consumer and how both get value from it, that system flow is what is called economy, okay? And so no matter your role in society, student, parent, or business leader, you are constantly managing, investing, and trading resources. That's what you're doing. Be it time, intellect, physical effort, land, ideas, connections, people skills. Those are all examples of resources that you own. And how they are accessible, how they are usable, how they profit others, and how they create value is where the idea of economy comes in. Okay? That's what basically defines economy. Now, every kingdom has an economy. Earth has an economy. Heaven has an economy. All right? I will deal with my people differently. Now, the thing that we have to understand is that these economies don't operate the same way. Okay? Actually, they're completely different. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take some economic baselines and try and contrast so that we can understand what we're really talking about here between a heavenly kingdom and an earthly kingdom. A earthly currency or economy and a kingdom economy. So can we find we'll just pick three things, all right? And then we're going to try and deduce to see just how different these are. Are you ready? The first one, the first baseline is what do you pay with? Or the means, right? We're trying to figure out how economies work. Economies always trade with means, right? The means of an earthly economy is money and hustle. Sinikweli, that's the means. If I want to transact, I'll use money. If I want to transact, I will give a service and I'll be paid for it, right? We agree. The contrast is, in heaven's economy, the way you transact, the means is by faith, is by obedience, is by generosity. Basically, in earth's economy, money talks. In heaven's economy, faith acts, right? That's one baseline. Second baseline is it enough? Basically, the laws of supply and demand. Uh-huh. You guys, do I look clever when I say such things? I'm just kidding. Or basically, how to deal with scarcity. Art's economy says there is only enough. There is only so much you can have. So as you utilize it, keep it. It is limited. Heaven's economy says it is infinite. It has no barriers. It does not tell you this is umekuja sana. No. Think about it this way, all right? Think about this, a cappuccino milkshake, right? That cup, or your Stanley cup, and you have your chai over there at school, or your water over there, or you have a soda, all right? The way you drink your soda, every time you drink it, you know not more is coming in. So I have to treat it nicely, right? If it's going to last me an hour, I have to sip kidogo, sindio? Like it has to take me through the day. That is earth's economy in action. Heaven's economy is like an ocean. Even if you have 17 people come and draw from that ocean, the ocean has not even lost a drop, has not even lost its volume. That's the idea. That is the difference about these two economies. And last, I want to talk about is risk. Is your money safe? Is your resource safe? In Earth's economy, in this Earth's king, in this kingdom's economy, there's a lot of risk. Sindio, there is taxation. There is inflation. Sindio, there's a guy waiting for you at the corner. There is a lot of risk in heaven's economy. What you sowed, what God has treasured and put a treasures for you, no man, the Bible says, no rust, no moth can even have access to it. And not only is it yours now, it's yours forever. There is no risk when it comes to heaven's economy. The risk in earth's economy is, it is very risky. You are never too sure. It's like a matatu. When you're about to ingia matatu, you're about to board a matatu, and then it starts raining. All of a sudden, the fare that was 70 is up for grabs. Right? If you're in a M3 and you're waiting to enter the M3, when the line is long, the fare that was 100 can be changed. In heaven's economy, never changes. In heaven's economy, it is constant. In heaven's economy, what you input, you will ensure you get it back. That is a difference. And that is why I cannot come at life with earth's economy. I have the opportunity to come at life with heaven's economy. So now you know the difference? Basically, earth says fear. Earth says scarcity. Earth says hoard, hold. Earth says survive, survive. Earth says self-protect. Heaven says trust. Heaven says steward. Heaven says sow. Heaven says provision. Believers, we are in this world, but we do not function by this world's economy. We function by heaven's economy. Just because you're in this world, you are not limited to this world's economy. There's a better, bigger economy that you and I have access to. And so the first thing we must look at in this kingdom thing, is the part that God plays. Y'all, do you know what part God plays? Provision. That's his part. That's not your part. It's his part. Okay, does that give you a sigh of relief? I'm like, wow, thank you that you took that upon yourself. His part is provision. You see, in the book of Genesis, Joseph, who was second in command in Egypt, strategically moved his family to Goshen during a severe famine to ensure their survival and sustenance. While they were there, the Israelites thrived and they multiplied significantly, laying the foundation for their growth from a family of 70 to a great nation. Goshen was fertile land because it was a delta that received fresh soil after rainfall. Goshen was also a place where God's people remained distinct. Goshen provided a safe haven where they were close to Joseph in the center of Egypt's agriculture, yet separate from its pagan culture. Moving into the book of Exodus, we read about the 10 plagues, right? But God specifically shielded Goshen, making a clear distinction between it and the rest of Egypt, sparing the Israelites from the destruction falling upon the Egyptians. Goshen, Exodus chapter 8, as we have read. You know what Goshen means? Goshen means draw near. Church, we have the choice of which kingdom we will draw near to. You make that choice. Will it be heaven's kingdom or will it be earth's kingdom? You have the choice. Because you know, also this was the place where God said he would draw near to. He would distinguish this place and he would distinguish this place with his presence. He would distinguish it with his power. He would distinguish it with his provision. I leave you with a question. Am I drawing near to the place where God is? Because if it's Goshen, I want to be there. Exodus 8, 22 and 23 says, but on that day, I will deal differently with the land of Goshen. I will make a distinction between my people and your people. Goshen is powerful. Goshen is powerful because Israel was still in Egypt, but Egypt was not in them. The people of God were surrounded by plagues, fear, instability, and chaotic national crisis. Yet God sustained them differently. Goshen was not the absence of trouble. Goshen was the presence of God in the midst of trouble. Yo, that is such a huge difference. God distinguishes his people. He deals differently with us. The Israelites still had the cries. They still saw the chaos. They still watched systems fail, but they had different provision. But they had different covering. But they have different peace. And most importantly, they had different outcomes. That is Goshen. But if you're going to be honest, those cries, even now, are very real. When the 15th of every month comes around and we hear about fuel prices, those cries are real. Sinikweli, when we go to shop and that 1,000 bob can't buy what it did 1 month ago, but then all of a sudden you're going to run a show with tomatoes because a tomato is 20 bob. The cries are real. When you pause before asking your parents about the school fees you need because you're aware of how things or how tight things are, the cries are real. When you get into that matatu and the conductor says, fare sio hiyo tena, ongeza. They didn't give you a warning. They didn't tell you it's going to be next week. Ni leo. Those cries are real. When the math is not mathing, the truth is the cries can frighten. But something different. But I am speaking to a different people. Right now, I am speaking to a people in Goshen. Right now, I'm speaking to a people with different provision, with different covering, with different peace, and most importantly, with a different outcome every single time. I speak that in faith over your lives in Jesus' name. May you say amen with me. Exodus 10, 22 and 23 says, so Moses stretched out his hand toward the sky and total darkness covered all Egypt for 3 days. No one could see anyone else or move about for 3 days. Yet all the Israelites had light in the places where they lived. Y'all, it's not only possible. It's now. Darkness covered Egypt, yet all the Israelites had light where they live. How? The world may be in darkness, but there is still light in Goshen. There is still light in Goshen. So you Christian, you believer, do not fear. You cannot fear. You know why? Fear creates a clenched fist. But faith creates open hands. Because I know that the God who brought it before, he can bring it again. But fear, I'm so afraid because if I let it go, I'll never get it again. That is this economy. But heaven's economy is different. That's why I can transact with faith. And so before we talk about stewardship, multiplication, which we will, mission, or what we do with the provision he supplies, first I must settle this. You must settle this. Can God be trusted? Can you trust your God? Can you rely on your God? Because everything we do with resources is connected to what we believe about the source. Everything we do with resources is connected with what we believe about the source. If your source is limited, you will hold on to your resource. But if your source is infinite, you will maximize on your resource. And so before anything else, I have to be firmly persuaded of this truth. I have to know this for a fact, that I have no reason to be afraid. I'm of a different kingdom. I have no reason to be afraid. I have a different economy. I have no reason to be afraid. I have read it in Exodus 8, what God can do. I have read it in Exodus 10, that where there was darkness, here else can be light. I have no reason, because I know my resource is connected to my source. And not because life is always easy, or because money magically appears, snikweli, or because Christians never face the struggle, because we do. But do you know why I'm not afraid? It's because I belong to a king. And not just any king. I belong to a good king. I belong to a powerful king. I belong to a king that's greater than any earthly king. And that king takes care of his people. Man, let me show you how much he takes care of his people. Matthew chapter 6, verse 26 says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. And yet, your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? How much does he take care of his people? Sparrows do not own businesses. They don't build barns. They don't control outcomes. Yet your Father feeds them. He provides for them. Then Jesus asks, are you not much more valuable than they are? Church, provision starts with revelation. Provision has to start with revelation. The revelation that he knows. The revelation that he sees. The revelation that he cares. So the real issue is trust. Everything we do with resources flows from belief. If I believe I am my own source, then I will grip tightly, right? If I believe God is my source, then I'll live open-handed. And that means I can invite God in and allow him to guide what I do with my finances. Because here's the truth. Anticipatory fear says, what if there isn't enough? What if there isn't enough? What if after I make this deal? What if after I buy this thing? What if after I make this purchase? What if after I make this investment? What if there's nothing else? What if nothing else comes back? And so what I do is I hold. What I do is I wait. But anticipatory faith says, what if God really is who he says he is? Yo, that's a very different question. Faith says, what if everything I've read in the Bible actually is true? And I can believe it. And I can actualize it in my life. What if I try God's way? Then I will invest. I will release. I will sow. I will trust. I will expect. You know why? Because you know who he really is. And you know who he really is? God is the God of our sources. God is a God of our sources. Is a source of our sources. A job is a source. A paycheck is a source. A client is a source. A business is a source. Parents are a source. Connections are a source. But God is the source of the source. Yani, you are way ahead. Yani, your God is the source of the source. So if one stream dries up, we do not panic as though God himself has dried up. Why? Because he's the source of the source. Kakiumana hapa, haimanishi kama umana hapa. Why? Because God is the source of the source. He is not limited. Actually, it's the opposite. He is infinite. Our sources and resources are more than just money. Right? We're talking about kingdom principles. We're talking about kingdom economy. We're talking about kingdom provision. So I want you to do this. I want to challenge you to do this. Look at and then look past your bank account. Because your God is the source of the source. Look at and then look past your M-Pesa balance. Right? Look at and then look past your budgeting apps. Look at and then look past your circle. Your money matters to God, but how you see God matters more. Your money matters to God, but how you see God, your POV of who God is in this moment matters even more. Is your God working on earth's economy? Or is your God working on heaven's economy? Is your God limited to your situation? Or does he have many sources that you've not even tried? Our God knows how to provide in ways we can't even imagine. Let me prove it. Are you ready? 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. The Bible says, the wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves. Elisha replied to her, how can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? Love the question. Your servant has nothing there at all, she said, except a small jar of olive oil. Elisha said, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. And then Elisha tells her, don't ask for just a few. He knows what's happening. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it into one side. She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring, and she kept pouring, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there is not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. The oil didn't stop flowing because she stopped pouring. The oil stopped flowing because the jars were full. She went and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your son can live on what is left. The widow's fear was real. Creditors were coming. Her economy had dried up. She was afraid of losing everything. Heaven asked, what do you have already in your house? What do you have in your house? Man, I don't have a degree, but I have a diploma. What do you have in your house? Man, I don't have a million shillings, but I have 50K. What do you have in your house? Man, I don't have skills, but I can crochet. What do you have? That's what heaven is asking. Kingdom economy often begins with surrendered stewardship. Imagine your resource in his hands. The oil flowed as long as there were empty vessels available. Come on, church. Your empty vessels equal expectation. How many empty vessels do you have? Sometimes we genuinely do not know how God will provide, right? When he will provide. And what even his provision will look like. Let's be honest about that. Now, faith is not pretending certainty about desired outcomes. Faith is certainty about God's character. I am not after a desired outcome. I am after the God that I know, that I serve, and after his character, because he will never fail me, he will never forsake me. So I'm not looking at the desired outcome. I am looking at his character. That is faith. When earth's economy does its worst, you know what I say? You've done your worst. Now let me go to heaven's economy. Let it do its best. I know my God. I know his character. I can trust him. And so I want to leave you guys with these promises about his kingdom and its economy. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 35 to 36 says, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Don't throw away your confidence. Church, waiting seasons reveal what we really believe about God. You have to hear me. Please do not hold God's goodness hostage to your timeline. You know why? Because delayed provision is not denied goodness. Delayed provision is not denied goodness. The fact that it didn't come when you wanted it, that does not mean he's any less good. Nor does it mean that he has denied his goodness in your life. God's timing may confuse you, but it will never fail you. He will never fail you. Psalm 37 verse 25 says, I was young and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. You will not be forsaken. You will not be forsaken when you are young. You will not be forsaken when you are old. God will not say, I've done my best, I can do no more. He is saying all through it all, from the beginning to the end, I will be with you and I will not forsake you. You will not beg bread. And then Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will supply all your needs according to his riches. According to his, not according to inflation. Not according to the tax rate. Not according to your credentials. Not according to your salary. Not according to your family's wealth. Everything I have is from the King. Therefore, according to his riches, I can receive. What about this one? Isaiah 26 verse 3. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are fixed on you. They are steadfast because they trust in you. Church, is your heart fixed on the news? Is your heart fixed on earth's economy? Is your heart fixed on the numbers? Or is your heart fixed on the promise? Is your heart fixed on him? You can believe this. The supernatural is coming to my space. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The supernatural is coming to me. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. He has said it, your kingdom come, your will be done. You know the prayer, do you believe the prayer? The supernatural is coming. My money, my finances, my resources, when I choose to draw near, they all become kingdom supplied. Just hear what I just said. My money, my finances, my resources, when I choose to draw near to him, when I choose to do things his way, they all become kingdom supplied. So the safest place in a shaking world is still the will of God. Goshen was not saved because of its geography. Goshen was saved because God was there. Your family will not be saved because of, is not safe because of its geography. Your family is safe because God is there. So can we quit looking? Quit looking at the chaos of Egypt and let fear grip our hearts. We are safe in his hands. We are safe in his timing. We are safe in his provision. Church, it's more than money. It's a kingdom thing. Today we talked about his part, provision. Next week, there's so much more. As we all bow our heads and you've heard this message and you're like, man, fear has gripped me. Like truly, fear has gripped me. I'm afraid of the end of the month. My salary does not meet my expenses. Or maybe you're here and you're like, man, I am jobless. I have already sent 50 CVs and not one response. I'm losing faith. I'm losing trust. Or maybe you're here and you're like, man, I have been looking for this contract. I've been fighting for this contract. I've been doing all I can. And if they truly have left me worse than I think I was when I started. And I feel like I've lost my faith. If that's you and this message has moved you to say, Lord, I want to try again. Lord, I want to look at it from a different angle altogether. Lord, I want to see things from your perspective. Because God, you know and you see and you care. If that's you, I want to pray a prayer of faith right now. And I want to ask you to please lift up your hand while every other head is bowed and every eye is closed. If that's you, lift up your hand. Because I want to speak a prayer of faith. God said in Exodus chapter 8, verse 22 and 23, it will occur tomorrow. We are not even putting our trust in timing. We are putting our trust in God's character. That God, if you said it, it shall come to pass. So God, here, look at our hands lifted up. Lord, this is faith speaking. Lord, this is faith saying, I will make it. Not because, God, I have all my ducks in a row, but Jesus, I believe in you. I look to you, God. I pray, my God, for where there has been fear, that, Lord, you would bring faith, my God. That, Lord, you would bring, my God, understanding. That you would bring love. That you would bring confidence. That, God, we can trust in you again. Lord, where there have been so many no's, I pray, my God, that there's a door opening for a yes, my God. That, Lord, I am tired of looking at just one source. God, you are the God of sources. You are the source of sources. Oh, Jesus Christ, I lift up my hands, accepting that God, bring in another source. I am ready, my Father. I'm ready to look at this from your angle. Lord Jesus, I pray for those who are discouraged because they've really been looking, my God, and trying, and my God, grinding for this, my God, Jesus, contracts. I pray right now in faith, my Father, that God, the doors are opening for them. The doors are good for them. The doors, my God, are the ones that only God can open. And Jesus, would you deal differently with them? Would you deal differently with the land of Goshen? And I pray, my God, as the believers lift up their hands, I speak, my God, that what you said, you will do. You're a way maker. You're a promise keeper. And God, we trust you because of who you are. So now we celebrate in faith in advance in Jesus' name. He's already done it. He's done it for you. Allow him to lead you through it. He's done his part. Next week, now let's come and learn about our part. Church, go out. I pray your faith has been stirred. You have a God who sees, who knows, and who cares for you. Bless you guys.
Thank you for listening. If you're looking for a church community to be a part of, or would like to learn more about following Jesus, we would love to hear from you. You can find us at NLC Official on social media or WhatsApp 0720-652-652. Join us next week for another message. Until then, God bless you.